Usually when we have beginners or new people, I should say, because I know nothing about you, I try to clarify what Buddhism is, because most people come here and they have no idea what Buddhism is. They're all entrapped in all sorts of doctrine and dogma, and that is Buddhism. But this is a Zen center. This is a Zen Buddhist center. And those of you who are here for the first time, see, to hear something, you're not going to hear the kind of talk that I would normally give. But Zen Buddhism, see, we are a Buddhist center. We are a practitioners of Zen. And if you are the kind of person in your seeking who does a lot of reading, then I would recommend the new book, Zen, The Authentic Gate. Yamada Roshi isn't a mythical character. I knew Yamada Roshi. I knew his wife. Yamada Roshi, those of you who, see, you don't have to have a shaven head, wear a robe, or any of this fancy stuff. Those of us who are doing that are sort of the spiritual cripples. We needed more protection. We needed more device, more gimmicks to hold on to. Yamada Roshi had a family. He was a lay practitioner. He was a hospital administrator. His wife was a doctor. And he will start by telling you he does not consider Zen a religion. I have preached that right from the start. If you can find out what you are, you'll see that it has nothing to do with religion. Buddhism is the raft. We hold on to this form, because if we didn't have this form here to hold on to, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to whatever this talk is going to be. I have no idea. But you would not be doing this. We sit many retreats here. If we didn't have the form of Buddhism, see, we wouldn't be doing this. Buddha gave a raft. This is something you can hold on to while you begin to negotiate the rapids, see, of samsara. Samsara is the crazy world that you live in on a day-to-day basis. Go home, turn on your news channel, pick up a newspaper, look at the insanity of samsara, and it isn't going to get better. The most you can hope for in samsara is to have periods where we reduce the amount of suffering, but there will still be pain and suffering. See, samsara is always pain and suffering. That's a given. See, and what you're locked into, see, in the realm of samsara, meaning you were born into a realm, the realm of the six senses. That's what you're sitting in right now. See, and this is only a very small part of this most amazing mind. In Buddhism, or in Zen, we call it Buddha mind. And Buddha simply means awake. That's all that means, is awake. The awake mind. Where is the awake mind? Can you leave it? No. But most of us live in chaos and confusion inside your head. The physicist, Tom Campbell, said, thinking in this 7-inch room that you lock yourself in, which is filled with your likes and your dislikes, see, your belief system. See, and he'd say, whatever you believe is wrong. See, and people would be, oh, no, I have lots of good. No, everything you believe in is wrong. Why? Because it's all based upon dualistic models. That's all you've been in for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Dualistic models trapped in your head. See, trapped in your head, looking out here at your likes and your dislikes. See, acting upon your likes and your dislikes, your likes and your dislikes are based on delusion. Ultimately, see, what does the future hold for you? If you're lucky, old age, sickness, and death. Nobody escapes that. If you're lucky, old age, sickness, and death. Now, we just finished commemorating the Buddha's enlightenment, our Sesshin. We started it off by having one of the priests who was here, set his robes aside, went out to work as a lay practitioner, and he died, 64 years old. See, and in some ways, Gendo, see, was lucky. He just went to bed and died. See, some of us will have lingering diseases. See, karma. See, some of us extreme pain. Again, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I was talking to Kyoji on this a little bit, and she was saying she can't really imagine, see, what her own demise. See, when all of a sudden she gets the diagnosis, see, or if you die the way Gendo did in your sleep, how will you handle that? Will you tumble in fear? See, the old master, see, we'll talk about that. You'll be like a crab thrown into boiling waters, all eight legs churning, screaming, see? Or will you simply settle in to deep, deep samadhi? See, that's the name of the game, to cultivate samadhi. See, but there have been people, big name teachers, who consider samadhi sort of irrelevant or a secondary development, see, kind of an interesting little sidelight. That isn't what the Buddha said. That's not what the great masters have said. See, they all say the same thing. A Buddha is a sentient being. Everyone in this room qualifies, see, as a sentient being. A Buddha is a sentient being who never leaves samadhi. Samadhi, Sanskrit word, for what? How else can I describe samadhi? I'll describe it in words that most of you think you actually understand. See, you actually think you can apply it. See, but we can put a test to a test to see whether or not you can. Samadhi simply means pure presence. That's the Dzogchen definition. See, the great Ponlop said, pure presence. Now again, pure presence. Are you present? Why is it pure? You're not up thinking in your head. You're not judging. You are in pure presence, here, now. See? And you can't do that for probably no more than 14 seconds, if you can even do it that long. See? My own experience. See? And when I expressed what I experienced from Roshi, I referred to it as non-distracted awareness. Why pure? Why non-distracted? Because I'm not up in here in my belief system. See, Roshi would say, see, this egocentric mind that we value, this great intellect, see, we value, Roshi would say, see, it's a wonderful servant, but a miserable master. And most of us in this room, see, most of us, it's a master, see, and it drives you. See, and it has you in blind ambition. See, wanting to be this, wanting to be that, rejecting this, rejecting that. The most amazing thing is this state of samadhi. But people are starting to hear what the practice is. I was amazed. See, because I'm starting to stress, Zazen isn't supposed to be a place of pain and suffering. Oh, I can't do it, it's pain. No. See, one of the greatest Zen masters, Dogen Zenji, how did he describe Zazen? The sitting. It should be the doorway to repose and bliss. Are you sitting in great joy? Some left this sashin, see, in great joy. And it's carried through. So long as you don't begin to add any of your likes and dislikes to this pure presence, see, an amazing change begins to take place, a transformation.